It's so good to be in the house of God this Sunday. Come on, can you just give God a hand? Are you excited to be here? Maybe you're going to do this. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, man, I'm so glad you're here. Or point to somebody, point to a homie, point to a friend, and just say, I'm so glad you're here. I pray wherever you're watching from that you are blessed and you are encouraged. We have recently been in a series entitled Cleaning House, Getting Rid of the Junk and Reclaiming Freedom for Our Lives. So for those of you who are just joining us, who are just jumping in, that's okay. We are currently in week four, but you can go online at oakhillschurch.com and you can watch all of those previous sermons. I know they will bless you and encourage you. But this morning, I want to take a few moments and talk to you about the power of influence. The power of influence. We've titled this talk, Clean Fluencer. Clean Fluencer. Who or what influences your life? It can be clean or it can be not so clean. I think we would all agree that we know this. In life, there are both positive and negative influences. Would you pray with me and then we'll jump into this. Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I ask that you would help us to see you, Jesus. Help us to see you maybe in a way that we've never seen you before. Would you draw us close to you as you draw near to us? We love you. And it's in your name I pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, the wisdom literature section of the Hebrew Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. I think there's many of us in this room who could say, man, we could look back on our high school years, we could look back on our college years, our early 20s, maybe our early 30s, and we would say, boy, ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth. The author here is saying, if you want to maybe keep yourself from some harm, if you want to eliminate, man, some of those disasters that could come, then you need to surround yourself with people who are godly and wise influences in your life. You need to choose who you walk with. And it's imperative that you choose wisely who you walk with. We were created and designed for relationship. And whether we admit it or not, we are all being influenced by something or someone. You've heard it already a few times. Our mission here at Oak Hills Church is this. We are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. You know what one of the words in that statement that I love so much? That first word, we. Because we reminds me that it's more about the we than it is about me. It reminds me that if God is going to accomplish his work in my life, then it's going to take me surrounding myself with wise, godly people that will influence me and spur me on toward that goal. In other words, I need a team. I need a solid squad in my life. And really, it's made me realize this, that choosing who we allow into our lives is just as important as how we choose to live it. Did you catch that? One more time. Choosing who we allow into our lives is every bit important as how we choose to live it. I want to tell you a story that I have deemed the treadmill tragedy of fifth grade. The treadmill tragedy of fifth grade. When I was in fifth grade, I went to a smaller private school. And so, elementary, middle school, high school are all kind of in the same building, all kind of in the same area. And so when I was in fifth grade, I knew some of the middle schoolers. I knew some of the seventh and eighth grade guys who were on the sports team. And so after school, they would have after school workouts in the gym. And so they were all in the workout room. And one day after school, I left the room and I went over to join them. I wanted to go do what they did. So I went into the room and I saw all these middle schoolers working out. And now you guys have seen middle schoolers before, right? I mean, these guys are buff. I mean, they are just ripped and shredded, right? Like they're huge. And so in fifth grade, I'm looking at them, I'm like, wow, these guys are so strong. These guys are so buff. Now I looked over and there was a few treadmills in there, and there was a couple of guys that were running on the treadmill. And I mean, they were running. It was like Usain Bolt fast running, right? Like they were just going. And one of the eighth graders looked over at me and he said, hey, Sam, why don't you hop on the treadmill and try it? And then there were some other guys around there, and they were like, do it, do it, do it. And my whole fifth grade self, right, found myself in a place where I was like, I mean, there's no other choice, right? Like, I've got to do this. So the belt's going so fast, right? Now, he doesn't turn it off. He doesn't slow it down. He just straight hops off the thing and keeps it going. He's like, all right, hop on. So I get up on the treadmill, literally like this, and I'm standing on it like that, and that belt is just going. And they're like, as soon as you go, you better start running as fast as you can. Okay. And so I put my foot down, and as soon as I put my foot down, my face is headed right for that belt. Headed right for that belt. I mean, my face is going to get torn up. But instead, I hold on to the sides. I grab on to the sides, and I'm holding on. And my legs, y'all, are literally getting sliced and diced by that treadmill. I mean, it is just ripping and eating my flesh. Now, none of the older, right, seventh and eighth graders think, hey, let's turn it off. Hey, we should stop it. No, they just are, you know, eating their popcorn, watching me torture myself on this treadmill. I think we would all agree that I made a bad decision. I think we would all agree that I was influenced probably in not the most positive of ways. And ultimately, it ended up with an even worse consequence. But we know this, much of making wise choices in our life depends on the we in our lives. And I think that we ultimately will help us stay on top of the treadmill and accomplish what it is, what it's designed and purpose to do. Because the point is this, again, who we choose to influence and speak into our lives determines most of the decisions and consequences we make and face in our life. A.W. Tozer is a well-known, famous theologian, writer, and one of his writings in particular is on the topic of self-discovery. And he identifies specific rules for self-discovery, understanding ourselves, understanding how we're wired, how God has made us. And the fifth rule out of that seventh rule is this: it's the company we keep. Tozer here is suggesting that if you want to understand and find out more about who you are, then just look at the people that you surround yourself with. And this kind of leads into what some of these statements have been over the past that we've all heard, right? That you become who you surround yourself with. Another one is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Now, I don't know that this is necessarily what society says. I don't know that this is what the world may say, but I do know that this is saturated throughout Scripture. Saturated throughout Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 12. I want to introduce you to a biblical character that you may not be aware of, but as soon as I give you the names of this person's dad and granddad, you'll probably connect some dots. His name is King Rehoboam. King Rehoboam. I'm going to call him King Reho for short so my throat doesn't get congested and locked up, okay? King Reho succeeded his dad, King Solomon, who succeeded his dad, King David. Do those names ring any bells, okay? Reho was the son and grandson of legends in the nation of Israel. So when Reho became king of Israel, he inherited a lot of what his dad Solomon had built. There were increased taxes. There was hard work labor due to the expanse and vastness of Solomon's rule. But the people had grown tired and they were exhausted. They needed some encouragement and they needed some rest. So the people of Israel, they get a little assembly and they go to this new king, King Reho, and they have a request. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, starting in verse 3, it says this: "And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, 'Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you.'" So as soon as they make this request, King Rehoboam decides to put himself around some counsel. He decides to get some counsel from some people. He sends them away. He seeks counsel. And this counsel is ultimately going to determine the decision that he makes, which really it determines the future for an entire nation and people. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, it goes on to say this: "Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, 'How do you advise me to answer this people?' And they said to him, 'If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever.' But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, 'What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us?' And his young buddies who had grown up with him said to him, 'Thus you shall speak to this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" Now, first off, can we all just pause and agree that these guys sound like a bunch of knuckleheads? I mean, right? Nobody's pinky is bigger than a thigh. Come on, that's impossible. That's not even true. But guess which piece of advice he took? Not the wise one. And it ultimately led to some major consequences. You see, Rehoboam became king at 41 years of age. He ruled for a total of 17 years. But you know, about all of those years were filled with perpetual bloodshed and war. And there was no rest for the nation of Israel. No rest. Nothing good happened during his reign. And check this out. You know what the name Rehoboam means? It means one who enlarges the people. One who enlarges the people. I found that interesting. Because you know what a disciple does? A disciple enlarges the people around them. In other words, they love, they serve, they give, they encourage, and they equip those around them. But interestingly enough, Rehoboam failed to disciple his people, but he succeeded in dividing his people. And it was during his rule that the kingdom of Israel was split into two, the northern and southern kingdoms. He didn't live up to his name, and he let his people down. So let's ask the question, where did he go wrong? Where did he go wrong? Was it his upbringing? Was it his lack of education? Was it his lack of knowledge? Did he have too much pride? Man, I think we could point to a few different factors in here, but there's two things I know for sure. He chose to allow bad company to corrupt the good that was in him. And two, he failed to listen to the voice of experience and wise counsel. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul here. He says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So let me ask you this question today. When you begin to veer off, or maybe when you're on the treadmill known as life and the belt starts going too fast and you just slip and your face is headed for that belt. Man, or maybe when the clutter or the junk or the baggage of life begins to weigh you down and there's a heavy yoke on you, where do you go? More importantly, who do you go to? Who are you going to in those times? Because you see, age is irrelevant. Age is irrelevant here. Young people need accountability. We'd all raise our hand and say, yes, they do. But let me tell you, older people need accountability too. And we would all say, yes, young people need guidance. But let me tell you, I need more guidance now than I did when I was 15. And now in 2021, the amount of media and information consumption is at an all-time high. You and I, we're constantly listening. And we're constantly listening. And in a world now where everyone says, I have the answer. Listen to me, I have the answer. They'll tell you to do this. They'll tell you to do that. They'll tell you, just cancel everything. Just cancel it all. Who do you listen to? Who are you listening to? We podcast, we YouTube, we social media, we read, and we music almost nonstop. You know the term cleanfluencer? You know that's an actual person. It's an online social media influencer who talks about best cleaning practices. That's insane, y'all. Like they promote cleaning products too. But we have financial influencers, we have health and wellness influencers, y'all, we have toy influencers, we have video game influencers. You know, about 90% of the people that I see at the grocery store today, you know what, they're walking around with headphones on. Have you noticed that? And they're not always like on a phone call. It's not always business or work. Man, I can hear that music blaring through those headphones. I can hear it. Be careful with the music. I'll just say that. And it's not just the heavy metal. It's not just the rap, man. Even that country music. You know, I often find myself with these lyrics in my head. I dug my key into the side of his pretty little souped up four-wheel drive. Carved my name into his leather seats. I'm like checking my kids into Bible Land and I got Carrie Underwood in my head. I mean, it's a catchy song, but bad advice. Bad advice. Well, so here's the deal. This topic is so important to me because so many of my hardships and struggles and pains in my life, it came from a desire to win the approval of my peers rather than the approval of God. Man, I had this desire to belong. I had this desire to be accepted. I had this, man, just this desire for that. And so I became like whatever group that I engaged with. And so I wish I could go back and make some better decisions and choices about the groups that I surrounded myself with. And more importantly, I wish I had been in a group of disciples. I think it could have saved me some aches and pains. But you know, in the last 12 years, man, God has blessed me and humbled me with wise, godly men and women who have invested so much truth into my life. And it reminds me of a verse found in Galatians chapter 1 where Paul says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." I would not be the person I am today. I couldn't stand up here and tell you, man, I am who I am because of all the decisions that I made. Because I'm so great, because I'm so awesome. No, far from it. Man, it's because of because of the people that God has placed in my life to guide me to follow Jesus in every area of my life. And friends, I had to make the decision to choose those friends, to choose that influence. Proverbs tells us that if we want to be wise, we'll walk with the wise. So I want to conclude here with three learnings from surrounding myself with wise counsel that I think can help us stay confident and eliminate maybe some of the corrupt disasters of maybe some torn up legs and help us stay on top of the treadmill the right way. Number one, wise counsel doesn't coddle, it challenges. Wise counsel doesn't coddle, it challenges. This one goes out to all my parents. in the room today who are the primary influences in the lives of their kids. I recently went to the gym not too long ago, the local gymnasium. Come on, Sam, nobody says gymnasium anymore. I recently went to the gym the other day, and I was walking in the parking lot, and I was about to go inside, and I noticed that there was a car accident in the parking lot. And there was a young man, probably in his teenage years, who was driving and crashed into another car, and there was a report being made. Well, it turns out that this young man had his learner's permit only and was driving alone and crashed into this adult, another person's car. So a report was being made, and upon calling mom shows up, and the first thing mom tells this young man is she says, "Oh, honey, you go ahead and get your workout. I will handle it from here." I mean, must be nice, right? But wow. And I know what she was doing. She was trying to help, but in an effort to help, she decided to do all the work for her son and hide him from a really important learning moment in his life. A moment to challenge him to take responsibility for his decisions and learn and mature and grow from it. Now look, for sure. Look, I'm all for comfort and compassion and support. You know, I do this with my own kids. I grab them and I'm oochie-moochie with them, you know, and I do all that stuff. But I want to raise kids who understand the circumstances of life. Man, I want them to know that there are ramifications and implications for the decisions and choices that they make. And I want them to learn how to grow mature from those choices. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 5. He says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So as hard as it may be, let's challenge our young people and not coddle them. And let's be challenged as parents. I'm talking to myself here. Let's be challenged as parents to allow the sufferings that they go through to produce endurance. And that endurance will produce character, and then that will produce hope. Hope in who? Not in me, not in anything, not in any person, but ultimately hope in Jesus. And let's guide them to the solution to the problems that they will face in life. And that is Jesus. Amen? That's the next generation that I want to see rise up. And together we can do that. Together we can disciple the next generation and challenge them to lead now. 2, wise counsel doesn't enable, it empowers. Wise counsel doesn't enable, it empowers. You know, the people in my life, when I was making some of the worst decisions in my life, man, some of the poorest decisions of my poor life, the people who enabled me to do that were the people who I thought actually cared about me. Isn't that funny? When in truth, it was those individuals who really couldn't care less about me. They just let me do whatever. But the people who confronted me, the people who called out my bad habits and poor lifestyles, were the ones who I thought at the time were against me. When the truth is that those were the people who cared most about me and my future. You see, their wisdom in the form of tough love empowered me. It empowered me to stop hurting myself and others. It empowered me to start forming better relationships, healthier relationships. It empowered me to stop being a self-centered jerk who thought life was all about me. It empowered me to start taking responsibility for my own actions. Again, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We too might walk in newness of life. So let me ask you this question. Let me share this with you. Paul empowered others. And I think other than Jesus, Paul was the best at encouraging and empowering others. You see, Godly helps us do what Paul was doing with his friends. Walk in newness of life. Paul was the chief of sinners. He claimed to be the chief of sinners, but he led so many other sinners to the perfect Savior. Paul wasn't perfect by no means, but he knew that he had been made new. And Paul had so much influence in the lives of others because of his confidence in his identity in Christ, because of who he surrounded himself with. And friends, we can too. You can too. You can be influential to others where they are without compromising who you are. You can. We can choose to enable those around us. We can choose to turn a blind eye. We can choose to shield them from consequences that will ultimately help them. Or we can choose to empower them to walk in the newness of life through Christ Jesus. And y'all, I believe that's the best way. That's the best way. One, wise counsel doesn't coddle, it challenges. Two, wise counsel doesn't enable, it empowers. And three, wise counsel doesn't tear down, it builds up. Wise counsel doesn't tear down, it builds up. You know, as I read the Gospels, as I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I read about the life of Christ, you know what I never see? I never see Jesus tearing somebody down. I never see Jesus criticizing and condemning and being harsh and ugly and rude to other people. It didn't matter how bad they were. It didn't matter how sinful they were. Jesus never tore them down. People don't need to be told how bad they are. We don't need to go around telling other people how bad they are. In fact, most of them already know that they're bad. They already know it. I've got friends who say, hey, Sam, you know, I know you're a Jesus guy, man. I know you're a pastor. And maybe one day you can help me get my life back on track. Maybe one day. And I'll look at them and I'll smile. And I'll say, hey, I'm ready for that one day. But man, know this, you're doing so much better than you think you're doing. And honestly, God is so much closer to you than you think he is. He's closer than you think he is. People need to be built up. They need to be challenged. They need to be empowered. They need to be built up in Christ. Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. I don't know about you, but I want to become that person who challenges, who empowers and builds other people up. But at the same time, I want to surround myself with others who will do that for me. And Jesus put it this way in John 15. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Man, Jesus was the ultimate model. Jesus was the ultimate influencer. Great love, great influence comes by laying down your life for others. Authentic love. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And no, it doesn't necessarily mean a physical death, but it does mean sacrificial living. Then giving your life away, giving of your time, your privilege, your finances, your energy, laying down your me and getting to work on the we. So this morning, I would love for you to just examine the influences in your life. Evaluate if we need to exchange negative influences for ones that will help us follow Jesus. The goal here is to become like Jesus. And we'll be like him. Let's love people enough to challenge rather than coddle. And let's be like Jesus and empower others rather than enable them. Let's be like Jesus and build one another up rather than tear them down. It was Jesus himself who willingly laid down his life. He says this in John 10, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." The cross of Christ has become the single most influential tool in human history. Salvation, reconciliation, restoration, new life, relationship, all came only through the sacrifice of the Son, Jesus, who willingly laid down his life. For who? For humanity. The gospel is, it's the good news of our restored relationship with God. I don't know every single person in this room today, but you may be in some desperate need of wisdom, of guidance, of direction. Let me just tell you, you're in the right place, or you're watching the right screen online. Because it's why we exist. It's why the community of faith, the people of God, the family of God exists, to share the message of Jesus, the message of hope with anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. The great invitation of Jesus' abundant grace, his saving grace, is for all. Can you say amen to that, church? For all. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Can I pray for you? Jesus, we love you so much. And Lord, at this time, Lord, we hold our hands open. God, signifying that we hold our lives open to you. And Lord, we ask that you would help us, God, to maybe lay some of the things down in our lives that we've been holding on to. And God, I don't know what that is for each one of us. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a friendship, Lord. Maybe it's a coworker. I don't know, God. Maybe there are just people in our lives, Lord, that we need to lay down at the foot of the cross. Maybe it's media. Maybe it's news. Could be any number of things, Lord, but would you help us evaluate those places in our lives now? And would you allow us to replace those, God, with healthy, godly, wise counsel that will ultimately lead us closer to you? And God, we thank you for the cross of Christ, Lord. And God, we thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Jesus, I ask that today that you would help us to walk in the newness of life that is only found by way of putting our faith and trust in you. It's in your name that I pray.